Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 437, stanzas 1 and 2. No longer, Lord, despise me, nor in thy wrath chastise me. Thy mercy I implore. How long thine anger cherish? Consumed thereby I perish. My soul is troubled sore. 1 and 2 of Psalter 437. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the first 26 verses. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 26. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Jeremiah chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. And thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. And the planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day in that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come. With weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather them, and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come, and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and behold, and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Alicia Roth of the Picture Butte Congregation who is lying in very serious condition in a hospital in Calgary. Also, Riley Rosendahl, who must have surgery this coming Friday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou whose power is without limits, and who hast shown it even when Thou wast here upon the face of this earth, in order that men might know that Thou wast not a mere man, but that Thou wast also the Son of God, Thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we may read in Thy word of Him who didst come to Thee, and who didst beseech Thee for His little daughter, and that did lie at the point of death, that we may read in Thy word of her, whose daughter was afflicted with an evil spirit. Lord, then she did beseech Thee. Thou answered her not a word for some time. Oh, she was told by others to go away from Thee to stop her crying. She was called a dog by Thee. Lord, she was given to take that rightful place. But, oh, she has besought of Thee for a little crumb. She has besought of Thee one little favor, that Thou wouldst remember her daughter. Lord, look upon those parents. Oh, give them in this day the place of a dog. Oh, give them the place of true humility. Give them a place where they may beseech Thee for a little crumb, and that Thou may yet do a wonder when their daughter is at the point of death, and when they stand around and about her in all her pain and in her agony, that are unable to do anything for her anymore, the doctors and the nurses together. Oh, Lord, Thou art able. If it would please Thee, Thou canst but speak one word. So we read it in Thy holy word. Thus the power, O Lord, that is with Thee, and Thou dost command us to command Thee concerning the work of Thy hands. Oh, that Thou may remember her then, Lord, and if it could please Thee yet to spare her young life when she is still in the flower of her age. Oh, that Thou may spare her for her beloved parents and for her family together. But, Lord, if it is not Thy will and good pleasure, oh, that Thou may prepare her heart to meet Thee in peace and in righteousness. Oh, that Thou may then take her unto Thyself, Lord. She does not know her right hand from her left, but she is born even as we and our children have been born. We have been born in our father, Adam, with original guilt and sin upon us. And we from our very infancy do live it out in our life by an increasing measure. But, Lord, could it please Thee to wash and to cleanse her in Thy mercy? And could it please Thee to spare her, and that Thou may look upon us all together? All do instruct us, young and old, and the little children also, in these days, that Thou may impress upon them and the seriousness of our life. And we do not need to be old to die. The young also can die and appear before Thy great judgment seat. And then that which we bring out of Thy holy word, that is not only for those who have come to a great understanding in our minds, but it is also what is so necessary for the little ones, that Thou may look upon each and every one of us then in this day. Oh, that the matters that are about us, and that the circumstances of our families, in our community,
that they may be bound upon our hearts, and that thou may show a use also these ways, not only for those parents and the grandparents and families to gather, but may it be for each and every one of us, for the need and for the good of our souls. Look upon the child that also must receive surgery in the week to come. O Lord, that thou may spare that child also, that thou may guide the hands of the physicians, that thou may bring him through, and that thou may gladden the parents and the grandparents with thy deeds, and that so thou may look upon these little children for the needs of time and for eternity. Oh, do look upon each and every one of us. We have a soul, O Lord. It is traveling to a great eternity, and we have no impression thereof by nature. Thou sayest it in thy holy word, that seed of thy word week by week and day after day, that is by nature plucked away from us, as by birds of the air, so that our soul considers it not. And that we are drawn away with all the lust of the eyes and the lust and the flesh and the entertainments of the world. Oh, that our heart may be drawn by thee, that we may be instructed by thee, and that thou may teach us by thy Holy Spirit together, and that we may be given to learn those most necessary lessons, before that it becomes forever too late for us and our children. Lord, look upon thy own church in all their needs also, in all their cares. It is a church militant here below, and thou knowest where they are, but so often they cannot find thee, and they know not where thou art, and so often there is even no desire. Taken up also with all the things of time and sense. Oh, then it is so necessary that thou may again be the first one, and that thou may return again, as we have read it out of thy holy word, that thou didst say when thy people were in captivity, that they may be encouraged with a word from thee, that thou wouldst again bring them to the former land, and that thou wouldst again bless and prosper them with the coming of thy own dear Son. Oh, that thou mayest so look upon thy church then, and that thou may revive thy own work, O Lord, in the midst of the years. Oh, in wrath remember mercy, and that thy church may be filled with thy Holy Spirit, and that many may be drawn unto thy kingdom, that many may seek thee, and that may say, we will go with thee unto the house of the Lord, and we will seek thee with thy God. O Lord, do instruct us all then, who are so ignorant in the things of thee, lost our knowledge of thee in our deep fall, lost all desire for thee and all affection for thee, and so we are so dead in sins and in trespasses by nature. But in one moment thou can speak a word. In one moment thou can convert us. Thou can convert our little children and our youth, to take them by the hand and to lead them, as we have heard, with weeping and with supplications. Lord, there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for thee. And we are in thy own house in this morning. It is thy own institution. It is thy own word. Thou hast given it unto us. And thou hast preserved that truth. Oh, wherefore, Lord, and dost thou give it unto us? Oh, that thou may also bless it amongst us. And when we also may be now here, for 3 years in the midst of our flock, and when thou hast commanded us to go in this way, and when thou hast given unto us help from above, and that we may do the labors of our hands in their midst, Lord, then we beseech thee that thou may also go with us in the future, that thou may so bless us together, that we may be a little instrument in thy hand to turn many unto righteousness. And that eternity may yet tell of the wonders that thou hast performed in the midst of us, even by the foolishness of preaching. Lord, that thou may so look upon us as a congregation. Oh, we are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention, but only that thou shouldest in thy wrath turn away from us and never heed our supplication, because our life thou knowest it, Lord. Oh, we are as a congregation also drawn after this world, the world that is entered into our hearts, and the world that is entered into our homes and in our families and our lives. And we are so drawn away with all that is natural and all that is leading to an awful destruction. And we have but one hope and expectation, O Lord, and that is in thy own power and in thy own might, and that is in thy own good pleasure, that thou may visit us from above and that thou may work a great work in our midst. O thou art a mighty God, and thou art able to do great things. Oh, then take not one, Lord, or two, but wilt thou take us as a congregation, then by heart and by hand, and wilt thou lead us back again unto thee, that we may depart from our evil ways, and that we may have a desire to return unto our Maker, that we may be instructed in our wretchedness, that we may see the great need for thy only begotten Son. Oh, that he may be revealed unto us, that he may become so precious, yea, altogether lovely, to each and every one of us, and that our heart may go out to him in holy longings. Lord, we are unworthy of this. We ask it of thee, because that thou commandest us to do so. Thou sayest, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Lord, therefore we ask it of thee also in this morning. It is thy own command. It is thy own invitation. Oh, we do it then. Oh, we cannot say that we do it with our whole heart. It is so short in everything. But Lord, then we come to thee with our lips, and then we come to thee with our mind, and that thou may come, and that thou will give us what we cannot give to ourselves, that life in our souls. Look thou upon all the needy ones, all that have cares in this world known unto thee, and those that are weak and sickly, and those that are not able to be in our midst in this day, and those that are old and ailing, the widows, widowers, and orphans. Supply for all that have difficulties of the mind. Oh, that thou may be on the right and on the left, in all the fears and all the circumstances. Wilt thou bless efforts of doctors and nurses and all those that are helping one another. Be with those and that have been united in the bond of holy matrimony in the week that is gone by, that thou may give thy blessing also upon that union, and that thou may look upon them in the future in thy mercy, and be with them also in the place where they are in this day. Lord, that thou may look upon us in mercy, each one of us in this morning, in the bringing and the hearing of thy word. O Lord, thou knowest all our circumstances. Thou knowest everything from the beginning and to the end. O that thou may use thy word this morning. O one word, give us, Lord, a little liberty again. O open thy word, that it may be a pleasant task in this morning, and that we may only speak as the Spirit giveth us utterance, and that thou may so use it, Lord. Oh, drive out everything that would hinder us from listening, and give us an attention not only in the mind and the understanding, but that our hearts may be affected. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Psalter 231, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And the last collection today is for the treasured meditations. Lord, thou hast favor shown thy land. restored again thy captive band, thy people's sins thou pardoned hast, and all their guilt hast covered o'er, removed from them thy anger sore, all thy fierce wrath behind thee cast. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 231. Congregation, we find in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ a great discernment, a great distinguishing between the good and the bad, a great distinguishing and a taking forth of the precious and the vile. Then we read how that the Lord Jesus has spoken of the good and the bad fishes, the wheat and the tares, how that he has made a distinction between different kinds of ground, thus distinguishing between historical and temporary and miraculous and true saving faith, shown the difference between a prodigal son and his elder brother, and declaring that men shall be divided as between the sheep and the goats. That is not only in the New Testament that we read such distinctions, but we read them throughout the Holy Word of God also in the Old Testament. The true church finds its life written in that Holy Word of God. And that inner life that we find written in that word by the psalmist, for example, that inner life that is expressed in that word of the true church, that is a testimony against the hypocrite. Thus, when he reads what is living in the heart of that church, then he knows in himself that this is not what is living in his own heart. Thus, it is a testimony against him, and yet the hypocrite goes on in his way. That is to be judged if the Lord does not prevent in the end of his life. On the other hand, that inward testimony, that same inward testimony that we read of in God's Word, that is a great comfort to that true church of God. Thus we may examine ourselves, that we may ask ourselves, how is it now for us? And we wish with the help of the Lord to consider that also in this morning hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find once again in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, the first chapter, the fourth verse, only in the first part. Song of Solomon 1, verse 4a, draw me, we will run after thee. So far, the words of our text. The bride desires drawing grace. First, her request for this drawing. Second, the fruit of this drawing. The bride desires drawing grace. First, her request for this drawing. Draw me. Second, the fruit of this drawing, we will run after thee. Thus, draw me. Who is that, children, who is speaking? You know it now. That is the bride. And who is that, young people, the bride? You know it now. It is the experienced church of God. Thus it is not those who are in the beginning of that way. No, it is those who have been led further in the steps of grace by the Spirit of the Lord. And now the bride. It is the bride who is asking, draw me.
Thus, what does that imply? That implies distance. Because if there is no distance, then I am not asking that the distance be taken away. But if she is asking, draw me, then it must be that there is distance, that there is a separation. In our fall, we have made distance. Do you ever feel this? In our fall, we have made a great separation. That is the awful reality. In our fall, we have turned our back unto God. And we had no desire to return unto God again. That is now the first distance. That is the first separation that is experienced in the heart of that newborn soul. Thus, we say we may examine ourselves. We may examine ourselves when we read in God's holy word what is now the life of that true church of God, whether that is now a life that is also lived and experienced in my own heart. And that is, in the first place, distance. And yet this distance that we have mentioned, spoken of, that distance from our Maker, that distance from our Creator that is felt in regeneration is not the distance that the bride is here speaking of. How do we know this? Because that bride is married. Because that bride knows something of this bridegroom. And if we will know anything, if we will know the smallest part of this bridegroom, if this bridegroom has been revealed to our soul, then we will know something of the taking away of that distance. Of the removal of the separation, something. Why? This is the work of that bridegroom. This is what all of his offices have been instituted for. As prophet, priest, and king, then he has come to take away that distance. And when that distance and that separation is experienced in the soul, and the Lord is revealing something of his Son, then they experience how that distance is able to be taken away. Thus, all of the names of Christ, they are also pointing to this great work of this Son of God. Draw. To whom does that bride desire to be drawn? The bride desires to be drawn to the bridegroom. Thus, what is that distance? What is that separation? That separation that is experienced in her life is a separation from the bridegroom. It is a separation from her husband. It is a separation from Christ. That is, congregation, the bride. This is the experienced church with everything and that church has experienced in her life, with everything that has been revealed to her, with the application which she has received in her life, still she is experiencing this distance. Thus, those that are led even to the highest steps of grace, they must feel something, they must experience something of this distance. One day it is going to be different. Because the Lord Jesus has asked it of his Father, that he has said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Thus one day it will be so different. It will be that the entire church of God may live, that they may dwell in the immediate presence of that bridegroom. And that they may enjoy that immediate communion of that Son of God. But heaven is not upon the earth. Thus, for a short time yet, it is different. And therefore, that superficial Christian optimism that we hear all around us in our day, that rejoicing Christianity that we hear about us, young people, oh, listen for a moment to what we read in the Word of God. That is not the reality. That is not how it is actually taking place within the heart of that true church. But this is the bride. This is the experienced bride. And that bride is speaking the truth. She is speaking the reality, what is going on in her soul. And what does she say? She says, draw me. What does that imply? It implies that she knows something of nearness. Because she is asking that she may be drawn, then she is asking that she may enjoy something that she is not a stranger of. No, something which she has known already in her life, that she has experienced to be such a pleasant thing in her life. And then she is asking that the Lord may bring her and give her to experience this thing once again. Thus that church knows. They know what that nearness is. They know the blessedness, the sweetness of that communion with this bridegroom. How is that? That a person would seek nearness to God. When Israel stood at Sinai, and when they felt something and they experienced something of the justice of God and the law of God, what did they do? They fled from him. It is impossible when a man is standing outside of that Son of God, when a man is standing outside of Christ, that he is desiring to come near to God. That first desire to come near to God, that is already in regeneration proof that though it is not known in the soul, it is a soul that is engrafted from the side of God into Christ. That desire is born that they may come near unto God. Outside of that second person, we flee from God. Draw me. What does that imply? That implies that that separation, that is for her a burden. That this is not the way that she wishes it to be. No, that separation, the burden of that separation is often not felt as she should. Sometimes she hardly feels the burden of this separation. Sometimes she is as Solomon, who is going into the idol temple of his wives. Sometimes that is a church like Lot that is a living away from the Lord in Sodom. Sometimes the church is like the bride that she is lying on that bed of slothfulness that you may hardly be able to raise her up off of this bed. That she is so taken up with this world. She is so taken up with vanity and all the things that are here below that you can hardly see that this is even the bride of Christ. Oh, she would have never thought that it could become so bad in her life. She could never have thought that she could be so cold and so hard and so careless. She had never thought when the Lord had plucked her as a brand from the burning and her heart that went out after God. Oh, she had never thought that there would come a time in her life that her heart would be like Gallio, that she had no care for all of these things. No matter how far that bride is away, that new life cannot die. Why can that new life not die? Because it is the beginning of eternal life. And thus it is not a life that is able to die. And no matter how far she is away, there is still a burden that is living in her heart. Her heart is actually beating with this burden. But sometimes, young people, children, sometimes we do not feel our heart beating. Sometimes maybe you even feel for your pulse. You say, I cannot even find a pulse. Or is your heart beating? It is beating. Even though it is beating so that you cannot feel it and so that you cannot find your own pulse. But who seeks for a pulse? Who is concerned that there is no pulse? That is not one that is dead. No, that is one that is alive. And thus we have a church. Oh, she is sighing that there might be a sigh. She is crying that there might be a cry. She is groaning that there might yet be a groan in her heart. Draw me. There is a Christendom that is mocking with her. A Christendom of our day that says to her, why are you so? Why do you complain so? She says, you just love your misery. It is a Christendom that uses also that holy word of God. And that brings that holy word of God unto God's own children. So that it is a Christendom that sounds so biblical and that lays that word before God's church and that says, look what the Lord Jesus says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are they right, young people? Are they right? Yes, they are right. That is what the Lord Jesus says. Oh, then he invites those laboring and heavy laden souls to come unto him. Does he invite you also? Say, why do they then not go? Why then do they not draw nigh to him? Why then do they not take hold of what he has to offer them? Why do they not then receive that relief for their soul? It is not because they love their misery. That is not why. If it was because they love their misery, then they would not say, draw me. But this supplication, that supplication in and of itself that shows why. Or she says, draw me. What does she feel? She feels her own helplessness. And that is now the difference. That is now the difference between the true work and a work of hypocrisy. Draw me, she says. Why? Because in her life she experiences that faith that is a gift of God. Oh, then she experiences, if the Lord does not draw me, then I am not able to come to Him. No, the command does not imply the ability. There was a man, he had a withered hand in the church, in the synagogue. The Lord Jesus said to him, stand forth. He said, stretch out your hand. That was impossible. He could not stretch out his hand. Why? That hand was withered. He had in himself no power. Did the command of Christ, did that imply that he had power to stretch forth his hand? No. The Lord Jesus knew he had no power. And yet he commanded him, stretch forth thine hand. Where did that power have to come from? That had to come from Christ. That had to come from God, that he may be enabled to stretch forth his hand. Thus the command that does not imply the ability. Know that people have a duty. They know they have a duty, but it is a people who are bound in their duty. Therefore the Lord Jesus says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That is the experience. That is a church whose bond is her greatest burden. What did Augustine then say? He said, Lord, give what thou commandest, and then command what thou wilt. Oh, command me whatever that thou wantest to command me, but give now the ability to do what thou commandest. Oh, draw me, she says. What does that imply? Oh, that she believes that he has the power to draw her. The Lord can do it. The Lord can make it lively again in my soul. The Lord can give a faith in exercise. Oh, the Lord can make my heart to burn within me as he has made it to burn within me in the days that have gone by. Oh, how does she know that? Because of what he has done. Oh, she knows she never was the first one. She knows where it has come from. She knows that it has come all from the side of the Lord. And if the Lord did not give it to her in the first place, oh, then she would be without it just like so many else in this world. Oh, she has experienced that drawing power of the Lord. Therefore, she is not a stranger of the fruit of this. That is our second thought, the fruit of this drawing power. Draw me, we will run after thee. Thus, there is a change here. There is a change in the grammar. There is a change in person. What does Solomon write? He says, draw me. He does not say, I will run after thee. No, he says, we. Thus, he goes from the singular unto the plural. Draw me, we will run after thee. Why? Because the church is a body. That is not just a gathering of people. Everyone has their own opinion. No. It is a body. It is a unity. Our confession that says, an assembly
of true believers, all expecting their salvation from Christ. Thus, a great diversity, and yet there is in that body one blessed unity, one flock, many sheep, they are all under one shepherd. And one cannot be affected without also others being affected in that body. When we have a pain, children, in our eye, then our whole body that is feeling something of that pain, it is all together one body. Thus, how is it within that church? When there is an infection in one part of that body, then that infection that is spreading also to the other parts of that body. Therefore, church discipline is so necessary that infection may be put out of his church. Think only of Achan. The Lord says, no, I will not go with you when you leave that infection. Why? Because a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. And therefore, he will not leave that sin to be. But now that is also on the other side. That is also when the Lord is reviving his church. What does the bride say? Draw me. We will run after thee. Who is we? We is the rest of that church. We is the rest of that bride, the daughters of Jerusalem, those virgins, the upright ones. She says, O Lord, if thou wilt draw me, then others will also receive the profit of this. When the Lord will draw one, oh, then there will be zeal, and then there will be warmth, then there will be heat that is felt in that entire body. Then that body is going to be quickened, it is going to be stirred up, because also in this way, a little leaven that is leavening that whole lump, oh, draw me, Lord, draw me, we will run after thee. And how will they then run? Oh, they are going to run in their whole life. They are going to run inwardly. They are going to run outwardly. They are going to run as they did in years gone by. Oh, they are going to run with a great affection within the attendance of the ordinances of the Lord. They are going to run to God's house once again with desire, as it was when in the beginning of that new life, or in the reading of God's word. Oh, then they are going to run with affection in prayer to God. Then they are going to run in the hearing of that holy word of God that is going to affect them their whole life. When they are in the kitchen, when they are in the barn, when they are out in the field, when they are in the classroom, in the school. Oh, then they are going to run. They are going to run after him with groanings that cannot be uttered. They are going to run with hungering, with thirsting, with longing after God. They are going to run with all their might, with all their heart, with all their strength. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Oh, they will run in the exercise of true saving faith. Oh, for this they need to be drawn. And if the Lord will draw them, then they will renounce their own righteousness. Then they will see again that it is but filthy rags. Oh, then the blood of the dear Son of God, it is going to become so precious to them again. Oh, then they are going to see something in the blessed mediatorial labor. Oh, the active and the passive obedience of Christ. That is going to become so suitable once again for their own case. Oh, if they will run after him, then they are going to look once again upon that serpent that is upon the pole. Then they are going to experience once again that full and free forgiveness. In that free and sovereign grace, then that faith that is going to be made so lively and active again. Oh, draw me, Lord.
Draw me, we will run after thee. And then, oh, we will magnify thy name. Our mouth then that will go open. And then this one and that one is going to hear. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. And then they will be drawn. The little children will hear it. The young people will hear it. Oh, they will feel something. And that there is something so precious that cannot be found in the word of God. And so that they will come with weeping and supplications. And so that the kingdom of God is going to be built up. Oh, draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. We will go after thee in the way of holiness. Because we will run after thy commandments. When thou wilt enlarge our heart. Because when our heart that is warm unto Christ, oh, it shall be so cold unto Satan. Oh, when that heart that is tender unto the Son of God, then it is going to be bold against sin. And when it may confess that Messiah, then it is going to deny itself. Draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. Then we will go after the example of our master. Then we will follow in his own footsteps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Oh, draw me. Draw me, we will run after thee. We will bow. Oh, we will bow, Lord, then under thy will. Whatever that thou doest, then we will say it is good. Or we will even say then, if thou shouldst take away our dear child, if thou wouldst take away our dear daughter, then we will say, Lord, it is thy own will, and thy will that is better than our will. Oh, draw me. We will run after thee. And then we will make progress in that way of grace. And then we will leave that entire world behind us. And then we will run that race that is set before us. Just as if there is only one person in the whole world that is ever going to receive the prize. And so we will receive the blessing. Draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. Is that not then a blessed supplication of the bride and congregation? Is that now a supplication that is lying in our heart? Because we said, this is now the experience of the true church of God. And the Lord, he makes a distinction also in the Old Testament. And it is that testimony, the testimony of that true church that is expressed in his word, that is a testimony against hypocrisy, but it is a comfort to God's true church. And it is a comfort by times to the smallest one in that true church of God. Is it also a comfort unto us? Let us sing Psalter 220, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. Great shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 1, 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 220.
draw me, we will run after thee. Congregation, what draws us? What draws you? To be drawn, that is over against being driven. Being driven. When man or a beast is driven, then he is driven against his will. Then he is like the children of Israel when they are laboring in the slavery by the Egyptians. Then they need to be struck. Then he is driven. But when a person is drawn, it is so different. Why? Because the will is then enticed. Then the will becomes one. And therefore, there is a going along. Thus, to be driven is hard. To be driven is bitter. But to be drawn is pleasant. To be drawn is sweet. There is no unpleasantness in a drawing. And we wish for a moment to stop and to consider the work of Satan. And how that Satan is working in this world. How is Satan working? Satan is drawing. Satan is enticing. And Satan has something at his advantage. What is that advantage? That advantage is the evil fallen nature of man. The love of sin that is dwelling in your heart and in my heart, the love of sin is to the advantage of Satan as he is drawing us. What does he draw with? He draws with so many things. He draws maybe young people with liquor. He draws with the entertainments of this world. He draws with all of the movies of the world. He draws with sin. The evil affection of the heart to be enticed in the ways of sin. We see how that he is using technology, the wisdom that God has given unto man to draw man. He is using the television. He is using that awful open internet. He is using the cinema. He draws. He draws to idolatry. In the organized sports of this world, in the pride of man, he is drawing. He draws with riches. He makes use of the covetousness that is in the heart of each and every one of us. He has us on his side by nature. He draws, and we run after him. We do not hesitate. Even before we have made a conscious decision to run after him, still our will that has been enticed. And why is our will enticed? Because our affections
our love that is one with the ways of Satan.
Maybe your upbringing, young people, maybe that fence that your parents place about you keeps you in an outward way. What a blessing that it is. And yet, your heart that is still enticed.
There is bitterness in sin. There is bitterness in walking in the ways wherein the devil is enticing man. We taste it. We taste something of the guilt. We taste and feel something of the pollution that is in sin. And yet we are drawn again. And how is it that we are drawn again? Because of that wretched and that evil heart that is living within us. There comes a time that Satan turns. He turns from drawing to driving. We see that in the Word of God. Think alone of Judas. There was a man who can read how that covetousness, when he held that bag, that covetousness laid in his heart. And Satan, he drew him with it. But then there came a day that we read Satan entered into him. And then notice how it is in that life of Judas. When Satan actually enters into him, then he enters an awful state. Then there is no more returning. What is going on in the heart of this man? His conscience is accusing him. The Lord Jesus has pointed him out. And the omniscience of Christ, that is something that is terrifying him. And yet Satan, he drives him on. So that he is with all that turmoil that is living in his heart. He is not able to return anymore. That he is driven on to his own destruction. Thus, there comes a moment, there comes a time that Satan, from drawing, from enticing, he begins to drive a person to his destruction. Look at Pharaoh. He is enticed. And there comes a time that we can read how that same beast from that bottomless pit, he is driving Pharaoh. He drives him just like an animal to his end. That man, with all the warnings he has received, when he has seen 10 times over again that mighty, powerful hand of the Lord, he is driven by Satan. There is no speaking to that man anymore. His very reasoning has been blinded. And so Satan, from drawing, there comes a point that he begins to drive a person to his eternal ruin. That is now the way of the devil. Now we need to mention something. Because what is the device? What is one of the many devices that Satan is using today? We must say it is in a great way in our society that he is using pornography. And Satan is luring. And he is enticing. And he is lowering that sinful, wretched heart that is living within man. And when he is lowered, man feels the guilt. He feels the pollution. He feels that filth. And yet he is enticed. Why? Because of that evil and that wretched heart that is lying within him. And then from step to step, that conscience that is being quieted, and from step to step, man is sinking further and further away in this awful, awful sin, until there comes a point that there is no more returning from this way. Until there comes a point that it is not even a drawing anymore, but that Satan now begins to drive a person. That he drives him to his end. That you cannot speak to such a person anymore. Because you cannot reason with them. They have blinded their reason by their sin. So that the person, everything that they have built up in their life, whether it be house and home or business and family and children, that they are breaking everything down because they are so blinded by that prince of darkness. And that Satan is driving them like a beast to his destruction. Young people, if you are involved in this, then we warn you to tell someone. We warn you. To tell your father or your mother. We warn you to tell a good friend and get help for yourself before that it is too late. Because today Satan is drawing. But we may see, as a minister, we may see those cases already where persons are already being driven. Driven by Satan, by this awful sin. Oh, parents, we cannot warn you strongly enough to get that open internet out of your home. Off of your phones and off of the phones of your children. If the Lord does not prevent, this is going to be the destruction of our families, of our churches, and of the souls of us and of our children. It is a serious, serious matter. Draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. Young people, maybe you cannot understand this bride. You say, how is this now possible that a person would go in his bedroom and he would go on his knees and he would say, Lord, draw me. You say, I feel nothing of this in my heart. Or what is there, minister? What is there to be jealous of that people? You tell us continually, it is an afflicted and a poor people. You tell us that it is through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God. We will ask you one question this morning. Did you ever see one that went unwillingly? they were the same as you at one time. Maybe when they were young, with the same drawing as you, with that same heart as you, with the same coldness as you. Yet now it is so different. Why is it so different for them? Because they have been drawn. What a mighty power has drawn them. From being drawn after Satan, they are now drawn after God. And that is never a people that are driven. Never. From the beginning to the end, the Lord is not as Satan. He does not drive his church, but he draws them. We can prove it to you. How can we prove it? With the words of our text. There is that experienced bride. She feels the separation. And what is she saying? Oh, Lord, she says, draw me. She wishes only to come again. Oh, what can we say now? What can we say that you would be drawn? Oh, what can we say to you that you may go out of the house of God and that you may run after him? We actually can say nothing. We cannot convince you. Because this is not of moral suasion, but this is a work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And therefore, will you now take this text? It is but a few words. Will you now take it home with you? And congregation, will you take this little supplication, draw me. We will run after thee. And will you make it your prayer by day and by night? Will you do that, children? Will you do that, young people? Draw me. We will run after thee, fathers and mothers, older ones. You see, I have no desire for it. I cannot feel the longing in my heart. Is that not the reason that the bride has prayed this prayer? Because she did not feel that desire that she needed. Oh, then if you feel it not with your heart, oh, say it only with your lips. Oh, Lord, remember me. With that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. That we may see the good of thy chosen, that we may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that we may glory in thine inheritance. Oh, draw me, Lord, people of the Lord. Will you not also make it your supplication? What a blessed supplication of the bride. But do you know who that was acceptable to? That was acceptable to the bridegroom. That is why she made this her motive. We will run after thee, she says. And that is now pleasing to the bridegroom. And therefore she said, Lord, draw me. And therefore, if it is pleasing to him, then he will do it. Because he cannot do it for our sake. But he will do it for his own great name's sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, the world draws us. Satan draws and he drives to destruction. O draw thou us, each and every one, with our young people, with our children. O instruct us in thy truth, that it may dwell in our hearts, that we may seek thee with all our heart, and that we might run after thee all together before that it is forever too late. Forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen.
325, 1 through 4. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 1 through 4 of 325. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.